Lost my hatchet. We're glad you're here. Appreciate your presence. I really do. We've got a number of visitors. And I offer you nothing new, but we do offer you, we hope, an example of Christ to the best of our ability. What we're trying to do here is to hurt no one, but get all we can to heaven and to restore the New Testament church. If you were here this morning, you heard what it would take to go about doing that. And you think you know that. And if you would like a count of that lesson, you can get any of them. These brethren here, numbers of them are working on this kind of thing. And you can get a copy of them. And if you would like to have a copy of this one, there's some in the back there. You can get one too. And better than that, if you'd like to sit down with me in my house, and you have to bring your own food. If you sit down with me in my house, and any time, I'll make it, and we'll study what I preach. I don't preach anything that I'm not willing to defend anywhere, anytime. However, I demand that it be a fair platform, and I demand it be somebody that, I don't know how to put this, but and there are not many of these, but somebody that's, I'm trying my best to say better words, that really has his life together and a good mind about him. I guess that, and there are a few people that come around that don't do that, and I would be very kind to them. But I enjoy studying the Bible. I enjoy studying more than I ever have. I have more time at it now than I ever have, and I hope that I can go. But I think that I'm going to say to the congregation here that I'm going to turn my time in this for next year. We'll have a 1 year's contract. If you want me another year, you're going to have to let me know. I'm getting to the age that I know that you might be well looking, and so that would be fine. But I'd love to go on preaching. But we need a contract, I think, that is somewhere down there. It's not forever. You know, this don't go on forever. But if brethren believe that the work would be better off here, I certainly would be in favor of that, because my life has been tied up with you and this work. And I do realize that age has caught up with me to some degree. But I am still moving pretty good. I want to do two things tonight before I start this, and that's two scriptures that I want to mention. Jesus never sent out an advertisement for selling stuff. He never tried to get anybody to actually buy anything in the sense of what you and I. And the worst thing about our mail is that they fill my mailbox up with offers how my wife can save $10, $20, sometimes as much as $30. I never have figured that out. When she goes to save that, it winds up costing me $20, $40, and $60. But you know, we're trying to sell. And she doesn't buy much because she really is tighter than what I am, and I'm very glad of that. Now, the way to make your wife tighter than you are, as men, is to turn all the bills over to her and turn all the money over to her and say, that's just what we got. Now, if give me $10 a week, and I'll have spending money, and you pay everything. That's the best decision in marriage I've ever made. My wife didn't want to make that at all. It took me a good deal of while to talk her into that. And now she gets over there to pay the bills, and she says, would you please come and do this month? I ain't going to start that. But anyway, Jesus twice told people to buy something. He recommended that people buy something. It was in Luke, I believe it was, in Luke, if I can find the reference here, the 22nd chapter and verse 36. What do you think Jesus told his followers to buy here? He said, if you don't have a sword, buy one. Buy you a sword. I won't let you think about that. Now, here's an example of how you've got to know when the Bible is speaking figuratively. When Jesus said, if your right hand offends you, cut it off. Please don't take, well, the Lord said that, I'm going to cut my right hand off. Use what God gave you to recognize that is figurative language, meaning something else. And there's plenty of expressions like that. The Bible means what it says and says what it means, but it says things figuratively sometimes, and they're always easy to understand if you will just apply common sense to that. And so it said, by a sword. Now, a lot of people, I was reading Adam Clark on this. He missed that terribly. And I hate to see him miss it, although I'd rather see him miss it on that than on baptism, which he missed that terribly too. But I want to reiterate that I have a great deal of respect for Adam Clark. 30 years and write a commentary on the whole Bible. Man, what a lifetime of work. But anyway, he missed it, and it's very easy. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, I think it's 17, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, if you can't put those two together, you don't know Jesus, or you don't know the Word. Now, the offensive weapon of the Christian is the Word, sword of the Spirit. And he said to the disciples when they were arresting him and all of them, Peter grabbed the sword, you know, and cut off a person's ear. And I've often believed he meant to cut his head off, but the man ducked and went around and got his ear. That's just my opinion. He said, buy a sword. And that's really good advice. You don't have this book, buy it. If you can't buy it, see me, I'll get you one. You need a copy of this book. It's the only thing in the world that'll save you. The Bible teaches that we're saved by the Word of God, by being obedient to it. It's not like any other book in the world. I don't care if you've got a whole library full of them. You haven't got but one that was written by the Holy Spirit. You need a copy of the book, and you need to spend some time with it. The other is Revelation 3 to a church of Christ that we know as the church of Christ at Laodicea. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, and white raiment that you might be clothed. Now, neither of these expressions are literal. They're very figurative. Gold tried in the fire is an expression, of course, that gold was pure. And here, it refers to the Word of God also, that you are using a standard that is pure, and it is important, and it is priceless. That's the Word of God. White raiment is, of course, whatever it takes to get rid of your sin. Buy that. And those are the two things. And I don't believe you'll find them for sale tomorrow in any sale paper you get out of your mailbox or anywhere else. But you'll find it in your Bible. So we want to do that. Now we want to go into this, what this congregation needs now. And I want you to think of these things when I go over them to you, that these, well, sometimes we talk about these traits by saying we need faith, we need love, we need patience, and so forth. But I get a little more out of it when I look at people and understand that here are people that God told me about that I can profit a great deal by if I will get that trait in my life to the best of my ability. And that's what this congregation needs. All of these people were sinners. None of them were perfect. Many of them, of course, were saved from their past sin, so they were saved sinners, but they offered us traits that we need. Now, when it comes to the first one, fathers, if there is anything missing in this world, it's fathers. All you people, young men here that are preparing to teach, I hope that you'll think about teaching kindergarten. I tried to interest young men when in kindergarten, catch it. That's not the best thing. Well, you can go where you want to, but this world needs father figures. The father figure is just not much around, and it's needed there. And I always thought that would be a great work. Although after I spent one day, I always took teachers on occasion when they were out. I took their place all day. And one day, I made the sad mistake of taking a kindergarten teacher. And I went in that, and five of them little dears got up around the desk, and one of them was holding me around the neck, and the other one was saying, Mr. McCollum, Mr. McCollum, Mr. And I lasted through the day barely, and I announced to all my kindergarten teachers, never again Well, I love them to death. But if you want to know somebody that's got a job, if they do it right, find you a kindergarten or first grade teacher. Now, I know it's hard to deal with high school kids, and I know you get a lot more satisfaction maybe at the lower grades. But I want to tell you, the responsibility is tremendous in those, especially kindergarten grades. But anyway, for that matter, we need that. Now, look at Abraham. Abraham was not a great general. He did win a battle or two. He wasn't a great writer. I know of no books that he wrote. He didn't possess the ability to be a politician or even a leader outside of his family, as far as I can tell in the scriptures. But what did he have? He had the ability to believe whatever God told him. If all the traits that we need in this world, and especially a member of the Lord's church, believe what God tells you. All liars are going to hell, Revelation 21:8. Believe it and quit lying. Believe it. It can't be. God cannot tell a lie. The reason he can't, if he said, this is air, it'd be air, just automatically. It, whatever his word is, produces the result immediately. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly. Boy, wouldn't you like to have been around there where you could go on fishing? God says it. Now, Abraham believed. He never doubted. And so, as a result of that, he is an example unto us in worship. Don't you wish the world would believe what God says about worship? And then he would also an example in life and in obedience. And especially, example, Genesis 22:2, in what he was willing to give up for God. You know, it's hard to believe God if he tells you something that affects you. It's easier to believe God when he tells you something that affects others. It's a little harder when it affects your family. Now, God promised Abraham a son. He had that son by a miraculous birth, but it was a miracle that was worked through natural means. And so, he had this son. And then he said to Abraham, take thy son, thy only son whom thou lovest, and offer him up on Mount Moriah. He gave him 3 days' journey to think about it. Take your son. I've said to you before, and I still don't know. If you find out, let me know. What did he tell Sarah? I'm going in 3 days, I'm going to offer our son in a sacrifice to God. What did he tell Sarah? I wish I knew that. One of these days, I'll know that, I hope. But anyway, what did he tell her? And so he headed out. They were going up to the mountain 3 days there, climbing the mountain. And he still hadn't told his son. His son was 17, by the way. He might have been saying, we got to get back. I got to take a driver's license test. But anyway, his son was there with him. And the Bible says that he looked around. He said, Father, you've got the wood. You got the means here of the fire. Where is the lamb? That tells that he knew a little something about worship. And the record says, he said, God will provide. And he bound that 17-year-old boy, put him on an altar, drew the knife to kill him. Now, brethren, that's a lot of faith. I don't have that. There's no way on God's earth I could do that. I wish I could. But it's a great example. But I can have faith in situations and maybe grow toward that. This world needs faith. You've got to believe in something. I don't think we've got much choice. Now, we're going to have to believe some in our United States of America. It's getting hard to believe in it. But you're going to have to believe in something. But if you can believe in God and truly believe in God, everything else will be all right. And then we need mothers like Hannah. Now, Hannah did not have an ideal life. Her husband had another wife, and that was permitted in those days. The other wife had children. The other wife made light of Hannah because she didn't have any. She had a hard time there. The Bible says, if you read there, she rose up early to worship. We need mothers that will rise up early to worship. I know it's good to rise up early and clean your house, and take a job, look after the children. I don't think it's any more important to get up for that than just rise up early to worship. I admire mothers who can do that. I admired my mother. She never allowed us, and so far as I can ever remember, to miss a worship service or a Sunday school class. 12 children. You wonder why I believe in attendance? It was taught to me early. My daddy, I don't know if my daddy ever missed a worship service any type. Don't believe he did. Except, of course, when he was sick or some of the family was sick, something like that. I just don't believe he did that. Now, he did have to work on Sunday night something to make a living. And I often believe that that's all right if you've got to make a living, 12 children. So he had to miss some for that. And I don't, well, if you know if you're forsaking the sibling or if you're laying out for some or coming for the right reason, you know that. So we need that. Then we need mothers, and I had to put this in, will turn their children to the Lord. I was at time to read that, 25 to 28. She said, I have lent him to the Lord for as long as he lives. Have you lent your child to the Lord for as long as he lives? You ought to. He owns him anyway. I've lent him to the Lord. I'm going to let him be. If he's God's son, he ought to therefore be wherever God would want him to be. And then, of course, this is important too, 1:15. She drank neither wine nor strong drink. I think that fits us better than I get so tired of watching news on television. And just about every night or two, you see this man and wife, and sometimes they're sitting around somewhere drinking, and there's the child over there. Sending their children straight to hell along with themselves. She drank no wine or strong drink. Would you give that up for the people you love? Then, of course, we need young boys like Samuel. 1 Samuel 3:10. He got this, of course, from the advice of Elkanah. Speak for thy servant heareth. We need young boys who will develop the attitude of, if the Lord speaks, I'm going to listen to him. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, when the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And then the Bible says, the Lord was with him. Now I want to turn and read Esther's case. I know you know all these cases. I just want to set it for you. I think they're better than dealing with maybe the direct quality that were involved. The Bible says, all the king's servants, I'm starting with verse 11, and the people of the king's provinces do know, whosoever were the man or woman shall come into the king, into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's word. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance come to the Jews from another place. If you don't perform your duty that God put you on this earth for, to save some soul, either in your family or somewhere else, their enlargement, God will probably give them another chance from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. If you don't do it, you're going to lose your soul. Who knows whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Esther was told, this might be the very reason you were put in the kingdom. I say to you young people and old people too in the church, it may be the very reason this year that you're put on this earth in this congregation to save it or save somebody's life or soul here. We all have a purpose from God. It's hard to know exactly what that is. Then Esther bade them return answer to this prayer. She said, go and gather all of them together and y'all have prayer. And I will go into the king, which is not according to the law. Now, if he didn't hold out the sepulcher, she's going to die. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. I wonder how many young girls there are, and I know there's some, who have that kind of courage today, that we need that, and the church needs that. We need married couples like the one to read about in Acts 18:26 through 28. We don't know much about this couple, but we know enough to recognize that we need them. We need married couples who have a church in their own house. We need married couples that are willing to work and make a living And there's nothing wrong with married couples working. This married couple's working. And all of you know that anybody would rather have one of the father and mother at home, but sometimes that can't be had because of situations. But this did not keep them from taking a man aside who had promised and teaching him the way of the Lord more perfectly. They were not so involved in making a living or trying to help each other that they did not have time to teach somebody else. Now, if you don't believe the church needs that, we need that badly. We really do. We need preachers like Peter in Acts 2:37. Why? This world needs preachers that will answer the most basic question in all of the Bible. What is the most important question in all of the Bible? Is there a God? Is it how hot hell is? What is the most basic question that applies to you and the most important one in all the Bible? If you don't get this one right, it don't matter how you answer the rest of them. You can answer every question in the Bible and in your life, but if you don't get this one right, you ain't going to heaven. Acts 2:37. The audience asked, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They meant to be saved. If you don't know that answer, you're going to know it because I'm going to tell you. Repent. Now this just came straight from the Holy Spirit to Peter, to these people. Can't be mistranslated. I know people can try to translate ace there and four. They're absolutely wrong. And of course, I can prove that to you if you'll let me get with you a while. But repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And if repentance and baptism was not for the remission of sins, Matthew 26:28, my blood is shed for the remission of sins, same wording exactly in the Greek, then the blood of Christ is not for remission of sins. You can put that together, surely, and recognize that people who do not teach that are mistaken. And I say that kindly, but it's a very important problem. That's the reason Paul was told, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. You say, well, you talked on that this morning. Yeah, and I'll probably talk on it next Sunday morning. I'm going to quit teaching on it when everybody I know of is baptized. That's when I'm going to quit. And those that I know that's been baptized have been baptized right. Well, Philip, Acts 8:38, the Bible says that he said, stand still, stand still. Why? There's nothing any more important than obeying God. And if I'm keeping you from obeying God right now, if you need to have prayer because you're a Christian and you're lost at this moment because you've committed a public sin, I'm ready to stop right now and have prayer. Take your confession of sin and pray with you and for you. If you're ready to go be baptized right now, and I hope before I get through this life, somebody will say like the Ethiopian did, see, here's water, what here be baptized. Whatever I'm doing, I don't care what it is, I'm planning on stopping. Not because baptism is all that, but because baptism is essential to salvation, just like faith and repentance. Why should I risk traveling on? I don't know how much risk there was to riding in a chariot. I imagine there was some. It might have been a lightning going on and killed somebody. They got killed 1,000 ways. A lot of people plan on being baptized and put it off too late. Rob Bryson told about a person that he studied with. I guess you've heard him tell that. And he said they were going to the water to be baptized. There was another preacher involved too in this. It wasn't just Bob. The guy was dying. And he said, if I die, take me on and baptize me after I'm dead. He knew he'd turned the invitation. Take me on and baptize me. Well, it wouldn't done him any good because he waited too late. And there are people who's going to wait too late. Paul, we need preachers like Paul. Now, why do I give you Acts 20:26-27? Because I like it. I am free from the blood of all men. How can you be free from the blood of all men as a preacher? You young preachers listening to this? You old preachers? You ladies who teach the Bible to others, do you listen to this? I am free from the blood of all men. Why? For I have shunned not to declare unto you all the counsel of God. You can preach the truth from now to doomsday and go to hell for preaching the truth. for the simple reason you wouldn't preach the truth that was needed. You left it out. So you can lose your soul while preaching the truth. We need in this world, we need audiences like the one we read about in Acts 10:24. Cornelius was a great example. He was told to send for Peter. I don't think he was told what he did, though. But when he sent for Peter, the Bible said he called his kinsmen and dear friends. You can work on those. We need people to do that, to get them to hear the Word of God. It needs to be a lifetime commitment of yours. How long has it been since you invited somebody to come and study the Bible or come and worship with us? Let's go back to that, friend. I know you've been turned down a lot. I have too. Let's commit ourselves to do that. And so he called them all in. And when he got them there, Peter came in. And he fell down to worship Peter. And Peter said, "Stay down there. I'm the first pope, and you need to bow down like that." I hope you don't believe that. Now, if Peter was the first pope, he didn't act like one. He said, "Get up, for I myself also am a man." Wonder how they explained that. I'd like to hear a good explanation of that. Anyway, the Bible says, "I myself..." And so he began to preach, and before he started, Cornelius had this to say about the audience. And I hope this audience is that way. If it's not, it's not an ideal audience. We're all here before God to hear all things commanded us of God. We want to hear all of it. Now, they didn't mean in that one sermon, and I know you wouldn't either, but we come to study and to hear preaching to hear what God's told us to do. Why should I not teach others to? And I'm glad we do, and I'm glad we do that. And then, of course, we need all of these things because these kind of traits will cause us to have a worker like the ones we read about in Acts. Acts 8:4. There was great persecution that arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad except one group, and that was the leading group of teachers in that congregation. They were all run out of town, but that one group, except the apostles. They weren't any apostles in that group. And then the Bible says this, that would get all the preachers now. And all them that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. You mean tell me everybody, that's what it says. That's what it says. I mean to tell you exactly what it says. They were there. Well, Acts 11:28-29. Paul and Barnabas come down to Jerusalem, and they tell about their brethren in need. How the church meeting, how brethren in need. The Bible says, "And then every man, according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren in Macedonia. And this they also did by the hands of Barnabas and Paul." This is the key phrase for the church, and this is a great lesson in this. Every man according to his ability. In 1 Corinthians 12, read that tonight before you go to bed if you hadn't got a chapter picked out. It says that the church is like a body. And it says we all can't do the same thing, and we can't do it with the same ability. But he said, if the body were all ears, where would the speaking be? If it's all speaking, where would the hearing be? And the body is one, but hath many members. And all members have not the same function. And he talks about that. But then it says that every member of the body is essential, necessary. Every member. And I started thinking about that, and I've been searching for a long time. I've asked a doctor or two, and they act like I'm crazy, so I quit asking them. What is that little thing in the back of your throat for? That little thing sticks down. Don't open your mouth. I'll take your word you've got it. What's that for? I've asked two or three doctors, and they look at me like I'm just crazy. But what is it for? Now, in some of your cases, I would guess it's keep you from swallowing your food whole and choking yourself to death. But I'm not sure that's it. But it's got a purpose. It's got a purpose. Every member of your body has got a purpose. Every one of them. Now, you need to recognize that. And every member of the Lord's church, God put you. In fact, I believe this. I believe that God had a certain soul in mind for every person that obeyed the gospel. You may not never come to conclude that. It might be just you. But you are responsible for yourself. You may not be able to save but one person. You can save one person. Acts 2:40. Save yourself from this wicked and untoward. You can save yourself. You can believe yourself. You can hear it and then believe. You can repent, make yourself repent. And you can make the confession with your mouth, and that's what the Bible teaches. And you, of course, can be baptized by allowing others to bear you in water. And then you can work for the Lord the rest of your life to the best of your ability, whatever that is. And that's what this is taught. And that's what the church needs. Everybody doing what they can do. Now, we all know that there's some things we all got to do to the best of our ability. Although some can do it better than others. Singing, for example. Giving, for example. Prayer, even, I think, to a degree. And I don't know about the Lord's Supper. I would hate to put that there because I believe everybody can take the Lord's Supper scripturally. I do think that some of us can do a little better job of examining ourselves maybe than others. But that's, and of course, giving, we all can give as we've been prospered. And that doesn't mean certainly the same amount because God needs people who have some of this world's goods, maybe a little more abundance to help the work, and they're a great blessing to the work. Then he needs all of us who've got jobs to help, and everybody help. And if everybody gave like I give, what would happen to it? And this is what I want to close with. If everybody worked just like I do and did these things that I put here as a father or as mother or as a young child, what would happen to the Lord's church? We don't know. But I went to the singing last Friday night, and they sung this song. Christ has no hands but my hands to do his work today. He has no hands but my hands. And if that's not true, I want you to, at the back door, say that's not true. He don't have to do that. He has no voice but my voice to tell people what to do to be saved. This has got to be done. It means he has others too, men, but he won't do it. How many people will the Lord appear to directly or tell them what to do to be saved? If you believe the Bible, and I know some of you may not believe it. If you believe the Bible, God is not going to give anybody a direct talk of what to do to be saved. If you hear the Lord talking to you going home, clean out your ears, look around, and if that don't work, go to your psychiatrist tomorrow and send them you hearing voices. God has turned this work over to you and I. It pleased God by the foolish of preaching to deliver the message. He will not speak to you. And he speaks to us through the Word of God. The Holy Spirit directed the Bible. And this is God's talking to you. And he's told me to tell you, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We need people that still obey that. Perhaps there's somebody in this audience. The Lord needs people, and the church needs people. That's what we need. We don't need people that want to come and be sprinkled, because God doesn't. We need people who come to obey God, to be baptized by boiling water for remission of their past sins. We hope you'll think about it. If you need to, come right now while together we stand and while we stand.